Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we are concluding our seven-part series. The title of the series, The Child of Promise and Fulfillment. What have we done in this series? Well, we took a look at the topic of adoption, so amazing that God adopted us. We also took a look at the promise in the Old Testament that God would send his messenger, John. We looked at the promise in the Old Testament that God would send his son, Jesus. We also took a look at God's great mercy. So it was that heart of mercy that God has that moved him to do all these things. It's not because we are good people, it's because God is merciful that he took great action for us, and we are so blessed today that we are the recipients of what God has done. He did it for everyone, but most people are not receiving, but God has enabled us to receive. We are some of the most blessed people in the entire world. Let's rejoice, and let's also care about those who do not yet have what we have. Today, we're going to now see John and Jesus. They are grown up. John has completed his ministry, and now he's in prison. Jesus is now going to talk about John. And at the end of the sermon today, I'm going to ask you your reaction to what Jesus said about John. So our reaction to what Jesus says is very, very important. Our text for today, we're in Matthew chapter 11, picking up in verse 7. Let me put the text before you, and then we're going to take a look at it in more detail. The Bible says, when John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to talk to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft robes? Those who wear soft robes are in the palaces of kings. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Let me assure you, he is even more than a prophet. This is the one of whom it is written, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, there has never appeared among all of those born to women anyone greater than John the Baptizer, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. What is that all about? Let's see if we can figure it out today. So going back to the beginning here, here's the first part of the reading again. So the Bible says, when John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to talk to the crowds about John. So again, we know John was in prison. His disciples had come with a question for Jesus. Now they're going back to John. But keep in mind, though, with John, he was so different, wasn't he? So he was preaching not in the city, he was preaching out in the wilderness, just as God had told him. He wasn't wearing fancy clothes, he was wearing camel hair. Doesn't sound very pleasant. Also, too, he wasn't eating bacon and eggs, he was eating locust. So, not so pleasant. I'm not sure what Kathy has in mind for later, but I hope it's not a locust meal. Not one of my favorites. Well, thinking about John, though, especially, what made him so different is he boldly proclaimed the truth of God, and he did it no matter what. He did it without compromise. Such a unique thing, such an important thing about John. If we think back to that time, some people probably went to see him, to hear him, because they were curious. But for some people, though, they were even more than curious. They knew they were sinners, and they knew they needed God's forgiveness. What about today? Are there a few people left like that today? Sure, praise God for a few people. Praise God for the faithful remnant. But many today, though, seem to be fulfilling what Paul wrote to Timothy almost 2,000 years ago, where Paul said that a time would come when people would no longer want the truth, but they would want to have their ears tickled. What does that mean? Well, what it means is people would go from teacher to teacher and from church to church, trying to find one that fit in with the desires of their own heart. In other words, they're going to keep looking until they find someone that is telling them what they want to hear. Well, let's continue here. So keep in mind where we're at with Jesus talking to the crowd. And now we come to the questions that Jesus is going to ask of the crowd. The first question, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What does he mean by that statement? Well, think about some kind of a reed, and it's something that can move very easily. So if the wind is blowing this direction, you know, the reed is bending this way. If the wind starts blowing back this direction, now the reed is bending over this direction. Jesus is asking the crowd, is that what you thought John would be? Someone who was moved in that way? In other words, what that means, did you think John was someone who was swayed by popular opinion? Like John was going to try to tell people what they wanted to hear? By no means. That's what Jesus is trying to say here. John was different. It reminds me a little bit of what Paul said about himself and the others who were on his missionary team. He wrote over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he wrote, "We speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts." So in other words, no matter what the people want to hear, that doesn't matter. All that matters is what God wants us to say. If anyone is ever looking for a church, that's how you search for a church. You're going from church to church, trying to find the church that is always saying whatever God says. That's the place to be. Now, sometimes there are things in the Bible where that can make me cringe a little bit. It's like, oh, dear God, why does it have to be that way? Why does it say that in your word? But ultimately, when I think about it deep down in, I have to say to myself, okay, God, I know that is true. I know that is your word. I know that is ultimately best. So change me to love whatever your word says. That's always the right attitude to have. Going on to the next question, Jesus said, "What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft robes?" Those who wear soft robes are in the palaces of kings, Jesus said. So how does life work in a fallen world? Well, a person figures out what the king or what the president wants to hear. And then that person goes and tells that information to the king or to the president. And then what does the king or president do? The king or the president likes what he hears, gives that person an important position, pays him a lot of money, so that person can now buy some very soft robes and have a life of luxury. Do you think that's what John was? Is that how John functioned? By no means. That camel hair must have been a whole lot different than a soft robe. When you think about what John did, he was so bold with the truth. John was basically saying, I don't care what you kings do to me. I don't care how horrible it is. You can even cut off my head, but I'm going to say what God wants me to say. Wow, John was such a preacher of truth, such a man of great courage, such a man of great conviction. And then the third question, Jesus said to them, what did you go out to see? A prophet. Jesus said, let me assure you, he is even more than a prophet. This is the one of whom it is written, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way before you. So we know God spoke through Malachi 400 years earlier to make that statement. So God, the Father, talking to his Son, saying, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, my Son, to prepare the way for you. And we talked about that last week, how what was John doing? He was making people thirsty for God's forgiveness so then he could point the people to Jesus to receive that great forgiveness. Well, some people probably again went out to see John out of curiosity, but there were some people, though, that had been touched by the Holy Spirit. They'd been touched by the law of God, and they knew they were sinners. They knew they were in trouble. They wanted that mercy, so they went out, and they were listening intently, and God transformed their hearts, and God gave them that gift of faith, and God gave them that forgiveness they were longing for. So that was going on a lot as well. And then Jesus made these statements after the questions. He said, "I tell you the truth, there has never appeared among all of those born to women anyone greater than John the Baptizer, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." It seems like a point of great confusion. How could that be? He's the greatest, and yet somehow we're greater? I mean, how can you be greater than the greatest? It seems impossible, doesn't it? Well, let's think about this in a few ways here. So first of all, John being the greatest, well, we touched on this last week, but for John, though, he actually saw Jesus. For all the other prophets, they were open, and God spoke through them to tell about the coming Christ. John actually saw him. And then think about Jesus coming to the Jordan where John was baptizing, and John actually baptized Jesus. Wow, what an amazing thing. And then John also had the great privilege to be that prophet right before the Messiah to be able to prepare the way. So all those ways and more made John the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. And then it mentioned there about the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Or maybe I should say, where is the kingdom of heaven? Do we have to go that direction, or which way do we travel to get to the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's not like that. The kingdom of heaven is a non-geographical location, we might say. A non-geographical location. So where is the kingdom of heaven located? It is located wherever God has done his work in order to take a person's heart and to make that person repentant, to give that person the gift of faith by which he is trusting in Jesus, and then to incline that person's heart to say, "Jesus, I want you to come and I want you to rule over my heart and over my life, because I know that you are the Son of God. I know your ways are best, and I want you to impress those upon me, and I want you to compel me to follow them, because I know that would be the greatest way to live here on earth, and that would give me great assurance that heaven is going to be wonderful, and then I'm going to be with you forever." So it's not going to a place, but God wants us to know that for each of us, where God has worked true repentance, hey, that's where the kingdom of God is. We are in the kingdom of God now. Is there a whole lot more to come? Is it going to be a whole lot better than this? By all means. But right now, though, we have the gift of eternal life. We have the forgiveness of our sins and many other great, great blessings. And then, how is it that you and I are greater than John? John is the greatest. How can we be greater? Well, think about John. So there he was in prison at the time Jesus said what he said today. And what happened to John shortly after that? He lost his head. A very sad ending to the earthly life of John. But of course, right away though, as soon as his head came off, he's in paradise. So what a wonderful thing. We don't have to mourn for John. But yet it is a shocking thing though what happened. But the point I'm trying to make though is that because John died when he did, he did not experience all that we know. So he didn't see the entire ministry of Jesus that we can read about right here in the Bible. He doesn't know about Holy Week and about all that Jesus taught. He doesn't know about Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. He doesn't know about Jesus going to the cross and taking away our sins in the manner that he did. He doesn't know about how they put the spear into him and how truly he was dead. And yet on Easter Sunday, truly God the Father raised him from the dead and made him alive again. John doesn't know about all that, but we do though. So we are even greater than John. How blessed are we? Coming to the end here, I'm asking the question, now what? So we're at the end of the seven-part series. So we're at the end of the season of Advent. We have heard God's plan as to what he would do. We have heard how God has executed his plan and done everything he has promised. We have seen how John prepared the way for Jesus. And we have heard today Jesus speaking very highly about John. So I have four questions for you. First question, do you believe such things? Do you believe such things? So they're either true or they're false. Do you believe they're true? I hope so. Many people in the world would say no, but I hope all of you can say yes. These things are definitely true. They are in God's word. I know for certain they are true. Question number two, have you heeded John's call to repent? Even though the call went out a long time ago, it's like an ongoing thing all the way to the end of time. Repent and believe. Remember how we talked about repentance months ago now? How we talked about the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God in order to show us we are sinners, to show us we deserve hell, to show us we are helpless, and then to make us truly sorry for our sins, giving us that godly sorrow, and then giving us that gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus for eternal life. Has God worked that in you? I hope you can say definitely yes. And then, are you embracing Jesus alone for heaven? Such a point of confusion on that, isn't it? Where so many people are saying, I believe in Jesus, but at the same time, though, they're holding on to something else. They're thinking, yes, I believe in Jesus, but then kind of they whisper, but I go to church, I read my Bible, I'm nice to other people. And they want to somehow like take those things and somehow add them to Jesus. It's so tempting to do that. But yet God wants us to know Jesus is God's Son. He is the all-sufficient Savior. There's nothing else that we need for heaven other than Jesus Christ. So let's always embrace him alone. I hope you can say that. And then with all the other things, those are the ways that we say thank you to God for giving us the great gift of salvation. And then the last question here, do others see your connection to Jesus? So when other people hear what you say or see what you do, do they see the connection? Three examples here on that. So with Christmas cards. So you don't have to send Christmas cards, but if you do, though, are you sending a card where you're saying to yourself, hey, this is that one time a year where people who are family, friends, neighbors, they're kind of expecting a card from me. So I'm going to be like so careful in picking a card that is like so Christ-centered and is giving them the message of Christmas and is even a call to repent and to believe right in the card. So that's a great way to be able to show that. Now, it's a little bit late to send a Christmas card now, but I hope, though, you've already sent such cards. I was telling Kathy recently that she has sent, like, so many great Christ-centered cards over the years. I wish she would have, like, kept one of each of them. Boy, that would be like a sermon series just to preach on those cards. There were, like, so many good ones. And then, on the topic of genuine love, I think the word love is like way, way overused in the world today. People are always talking about love, and yet I don't think there's that much really genuine love. What is genuine love? What is true love according to the Bible? Well, Almighty God, he looked upon us, he saw our greatest need, and that is for forgiveness. So he took action to provide forgiveness to us as a gift. What does it mean for us to show genuine love to others? That means that we are paying attention to other people and we see what their needs are And according to how God has equipped us, now we are taking action for others to help them with their needs, and we're helping them as a gift. We're helping them expecting nothing in return. That is showing genuine love. And then one final one here would be our concern for the salvation of others. So when we think about going back to the five things on repentance for a moment, when we think about this reality that we have sinned and we deserve hell and we're helpless to fix it, that should give us total despair. But then we're like, oh, wait a minute. Because of God's great mercy and because of the work of Jesus and because of my God-given faith, I'm going to heaven. This is like incredible, isn't it? We deserve hell, and yet we're going to heaven. Wow. But then we should say, wait a minute now. I probably have neighbors or friends or coworkers or family members, and I'm not sure if they know what I know or believe what I believe. That means that they're stuck over here with sin, hell, and helpless, and they don't even know it, and they're going on to a horrible eternity. Like, we should definitely be concerned about them. What can we do? We can pray for them for sure. We can try to reach out to them in various ways. We can invite them to church. We can buy maybe even a Christmas present for them that would be something that would maybe get the message to them. Maybe some kind of a Christian DVD or some kind of a book that they would read that would open their eyes to the truth. So we have to be creative sometimes in trying to get people information that would be quite a blessing. Let me conclude like this today. So a truth, John is the greatest Old Testament prophet. Hopefully we can understand that. Something relevant, I think this is true. So all who listen to John will trust in Jesus. So understanding who John is, understanding his message, understanding how he pointed people to Jesus, anyone who listened to him, who listens to him even today, they're going to trust in Jesus for eternal life. And then finally, even though many are spiritually lost and in a very bad situation, what is the good news? God is still calling the world to repent and believe. The door has not shut yet. It's not over. The way is still open. So let us reach out. Let us do what we can that other people might know him too. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, because of your great love and mercy, the door to heaven is still open. So we pray that you would open many ears, pierce many hearts, and transform many lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.